This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about alternative collaborative courts, which include Drug Proposition 36 Court, the Bridges Program, Pathways, and the Veterans Treatment Courts. My guests are John L. Jack Gransert, who likes to go by Jack. We used to work together, by the way, everybody. He is the Assistant Presiding Judge, and Richard Livermore, who is the Drug Proposition 36 Court Judge, including Pathways. They are judges of the Superior Court of San Mateo County. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, the Family Law Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Judges, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be here, Chuck.
Really, really nice to have you. Judge Gransert, most people, or a lot of people probably, have never even heard of the Veterans Treatment Court. You started this. It was your idea. You started it in San Mateo County, kind of as, I think, perhaps one of the first courts, veterans courts in the state of California. Could you talk a little bit about this?
Sure, Chuck. Veterans Treatment Court is something that started back east in Buffalo, New York. There was a judge that started the program there. Then in California, we had a couple of counties that did it. Orange County did it. San Diego did it. And Santa Clara County. And there weren't a lot of other courts in the state a few years ago that were doing it. I definitely saw a need for it. There's a definite soft spot in my heart for it. I was a veteran. My son is in the Air Force now. And it just seemed to me, as I'm sure it did to the other judges starting the other veterans treatment courts, that veterans were getting kind of an unfair deal. The state of California was willing to look at veterans differently and treat them differently. And the penal code authorized judges to, instead of giving jail to veterans who met certain criteria, you could give them programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that sounded great to me because we send our young people over to war and they end up with PTSD, mm-hmm. Post-traumatic stress syndrome, or they end up with a traumatic brain injury. And then they come back to home, back to San Mateo County, and they are in a different state of mind. They commit crimes that they wouldn't have before they went into the service. The state of California recognized that we should treat that differently, and it was something that I certainly wanted to do. I needed an awful lot of cooperation to do it because we are in the throes of huge budget cuts.
At the time that you started it, you had no funding for this, right?
We had no funding. We had negative funding because we had had to cut our court staff by 30%. Those cuts are still ongoing. Mm-hmm. So we had to start this program without any funding. So what that required is for me to find the people who would be most sympathetic to this cause, who would be most enthusiastic about forming this kind of court, and to do it on the cheap. So we met for a year and a half, lunchtimes, trying to figure out a way that we could do this without costing us any additional money, because if we were to ask for any additional money, it would have had to have been turned down.
Mm-hmm.
So after a year and a half, we figured out a way to do it, and then we all went back to our respective organizations and said, we can do this, and we can do it without hurting the other calendars that have to be called and the other clients that the other agencies have to deal with, and we can do it without any additional funding at the moment.
When San Mateo County describes this as the Veterans Treatment Court, What's involved with the treatment? And is there any funding for this treatment at this point?
What's involved with the treatment is we have kind of strict requirements as to what veterans can enter the program. And they have to have had problems in the military that began there or were exacerbated there. And most likely as a result of things like PTSD, or traumatic brain injury, or substance abuse, or sexual assault. And if the crime that they allegedly committed was a result of, or we can be, it can be traced to their military service, and if it's a probationary offense, if there's no risk to the public safety with treating them in veterans treatment court, and if they're not gang or sex registrants, then and they're eligible for VA benefits.
For Veterans Administration.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Then judges in the rest of the courthouse can take their plea, sentence them, and so long as they're sentenced to probation and it looks like they're eligible for VA benefits and it looks like the source of their problems was their military service, mm-hmm. then they can send it to Veterans Treatment Court. And what we can do in Veterans Treatment Court is we can give them intense supervision. We can give them a treatment plan that includes the state-of-the-art treatment at our local VA, the Veterans Administration, in Palo Alto and Menlo Park, who have been wonderful as participants in the Veterans Treatment Court program. And they can go through this program with us where they meet me once a month, and they talk about their progress, and I get a report on their progress.
A report from whom?
Report from the probation officer.
I see. Okay.
The constituent agencies involved are the mental health services mm-hmm. and the probation and the DA and the private defender program, which are our defense attorneys. Mm-hmm. But so long as everyone on the treatment team agrees that this is an appropriate person for our program, and if they go through their 12 months or 18 months with us and do well, then we can, at the end of the their time with us, we can graduate them. We can give them an achievement coin that the military coins for mm-hmm. us. Mm-hmm. We can give them a speech. We can give them some gift certificates. We even have local restaurateurs who give them dinner for two
oh, nice.
When they finish up
oh, nice.
At their graduation.
That's wonderful.
And then at that point, we also are allowed by law to seal their records.
Really?
Yeah, dismiss their charge and seal their records.
That's very significant.
And apart from victim restitution, which I make sure that they do pay and they continue mm-hmm. to be obligated to pay, but otherwise I can forgive their fines and fees so long as they've done well. The other advantage to Veterans Treatment Court is that they get, from the very first appearance in Veterans Treatment Court, they get assigned a mentor who is a volunteer, former veteran, who may have had problems mm-hmm. adjusting to civilian lives themselves, and they act as friend and sponsor to the veteran and help them get through the program. We have guys who come into that program who cannot look you in the eye.
Really?
They leave the program
oh,
looking you in the eye
How wonderful.
And having a great deal of
How wonderful.
Self-respect. They get motivated by the applause that we mm-hmm. give them from mm-hmm. all the veterans that are in attendance. Mm-hmm. They get motivated to a great extent by $10 gift certificates that we
They're
give
wonderful.
Them when they've done well in the
They're
last
wonderful.
Month.
Oh, well.
It's the little things that mean so very much. Yes. We have veterans in San Mateo County who are living in creeks. We get them through the VA and through our local services. We can get them generally housing and employment and stability.
This is an example, Judge Gransert, of what is going on in other counties throughout the state of California for veterans, is it not?
It is.
Yeah.
Since we started this, we've had a lot more counties that have started these types of programs, and we've had a lot of judges and probation officers that come into our court just to see what we're doing as they try to form their own.
Terrific. What I'd like to do now is turn to Judge Livermore and talk about Drug Court P36. If you would, Judge Livermore, you and I spent some time together.
We did, indeed.
Many years ago when I
yes.
was the Drug Court Deputy DA for San Mateo County.
You were.
Going back to, I think it was 1999 or something like that. I did it for about 3 years. I found it a very worthwhile thing.
Are you saying you're old, Chuck?
I am. I just shaved that big, long beard of mine, you know. In any event, Judge Livermore, tell us us a little bit about drug court, so I think a lot of people understand what it is. And then I wonder if you would talk about P36, because I know that you are very concerned about that's Proposition 36.
Proposition 36, yeah. Yes. Well, drug court is actually the oldest collaborative court process focusing on addiction. In 1989, it began in the state of Florida. In the state of California, a very progressive judge over in Berkeley, Alameda, set up a small experiment, and that has grown to the point where now I believe every single county in the state of California has a drug court.
Wonderful.
At least.
Wonderful.
And as Jack just mentioned regarding the Veterans Court, is that it is a process where you apply incentives and sanctions to help guide people through the addiction recovery process and at the same time comply with the criminal justice requirements of a sentence. And so, in other words, as Jack said, you don't get to not pay your restitution if you were stealing something or mm-hmm. if you got crazy one night and ran your car into a neighbor's wall and you are facing serious consequences, not only criminally, but monetarily because of your bizarre and, let's say, addiction-based behavior. So drug court has used sanctions, incentives. Sanctions include flash incarceration, which means you don't put them in jail forever, but when they make a mistake, they come back to court, they have to report in, and if they are going to be sanctioned, the psychologists tell us that people can do time.
Mm-hmm.
They are adjusted in their brains to actually going in and just being locked up. The difference is that when we lock them up, we only lock them up for a short period of time, mm-hmm. and they have said that it is the process of being put in handcuffs in front of all the people who are there in drug court that they can't stand.
Mm.
It is an embarrassment. It is a failure. And but once that point has been made, then you can proceed on with the addiction recovery services. We are blessed in San Mateo County to have an amazing group of people that help us in drug court. And it is not just the judges. It is not just probation. It is not just the prosecutors. It is a whole amalgam of very, very talented people. And we have doctors now who are specializing in addiction medicine. And they will help us do the analysis or the predisposition assessment mm-hmm. of what type of addiction services people need. In drug court, we're able to provide this very, very broad range of services.
And these people have to plead, though, do they not, or not?
Not necessarily.
Really?
No, we have varying degrees of entry requirements.
Uh-huh.
One of the least toxic, if you will, entry requirements is what they call the pre-plea process. So someone comes in, they may have a long-standing addiction problem,
mm-hmm.
whether it be alcohol, hard drugs, a combination. There we have many, many polysubstance
abusers. So
this
could just be alcohol, could it?
It could, oh, absolutely.
Without drugs?
Alcohol is still our most serious problem.
Well, no, I understand.
Yeah.
But I mean, without taking cocaine or...
But usually you will find, as I say, polysubstance.
Yeah.
Because if someone is saying, all right, I'm not going to use drugs anymore, then what do they turn to?
Sure.
They turn to alcohol.
Yeah.
So you can't really separate them out. Although the treatment for hard drug users and the treatment for alcoholics can be different.
Mm-hmm.
If you have someone who is a brittle alcoholic, someone who is seriously addicted to alcohol, you may have a different modality for them than if you have someone who's a cocaine addict, a meth addict, or mm-hmm. a combination thereof. So
there, but if I may interrupt for just a moment, with regard to drug court, there are funds that the state has made available for people to go through the treatment process?
The state and federal government, yeah.
Yes.
You will see now, if you looked at a graph of the funds available through the federal and state, that is actually a growth a growth graph,
encouraging. So you're getting more funds.
We are.
That's wonderful.
And it's because there's a recognition that the efficacy, the efficiency of spending money on recovery services is so much greater than just locking somebody up.
Yeah.
Now, there is still a very stubborn view that the only good way to manage someone who has shown criminal behavior and is resistant to change is to punish them.
Mm-hmm.
And the standard punishment over the years has been incarceration.
Right.
Well, we know that that can work. It certainly keeps them off the street.
Wow.
But ultimately, if we do not want an addict to come back through the system, you have to deal with the taproot causes. And addiction, as I'm sure everybody knows who's listening, does not know any boundaries. It knows no social, no economic, no racial, no ethnic, no cultural boundaries. It affects everybody.
May I stop you there for just a moment? I'd like everybody to know this is your legal rights. I'm Chuck Finney. Our topic tonight is alternative collaborative courts. Right now, Judge Richard Livermore is talking about drug court. In a moment, I'm going to ask him to talk about what's called Proposition 36. We were talking with Judge Jack Gransert, who is the assistant presiding judge, and he was talking about the Veterans Treatment Courts. For those of you who are listening to us live, we are live in the Bay Area. We are live on the internet at www.kalw.org for a whole hour. In a few minutes, I will give a phone number. For those of you who may be veterans, for those of you who may be unfortunately afflicted by drugs, for those of you who may be family members who are afflicted by the illness of your other member of your family or members of your family, you'll have a chance to call in, ask a question, make a comment. So please be patient if you would. Judge Livermore, let me come back to you for just a moment then. And Proposition 36 was something.
But before, can I just finish discussion on pre-plea?
Yeah.
Pre-plea is where you get the opportunity to come into drug court without actually having to enter a plea. And that can be of great, great value to someone who does not want a felony conviction on their record, or if they have, for instance, immigration issues, because if you just enter a plea now,
you got it.
We are told that the Immigration Customs and Enforcement rules now will say that the mere entry of a plea is going to affect your ability to become an American citizen or take advantage of the immigration rules. So it's a very, very powerful incentive. But that's not the only reason. Basically, if someone is an addict and they're willing to acknowledge that they're an addict, the criminal justice system is willing to say, okay, we will give you a bite at the apple pre-plea. And in San Mateo County, it's called zero tolerance pre-plea, which means that if they violate the rules of our drug court, and they're pretty simple to understand, but we do enforce them, then they will not be able to continue in drug court on a pre-plea basis. They won't get kicked out of drug court because we acknowledge that addiction is a tough, tough, tough thing to conquer.
But they won't have the benefit of the pre-plea.
They won't have the benefit
of the
pre-plea.
Which is a shame.
But once they enter the plea, they can stay in drug court, and we understand that these programs are best suited. The high-intensity programs are best suited for the high-needs, high-risk individual.
Mm-hmm.
To put it another way, if you are a wild college kid driving the car at 90 miles an hour on 280 and get pulled over because you are hammered, because you got a DUI, you are not a drug court candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You are a party animal who needs to pay the standard probation conditions for a high-speed DUI, maybe high blood alcohol. However, if you have a stubborn addiction, which is manifested not only by repeated arrests, repeated attempts at trying to get into programs and failing, that is a person that we feel very, very confident in that we can help in drug court.
Let me do this because, unfortunately, time is going so quickly. I know you are very concerned about something that came after the starting of drug court, and that's Proposition 36.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that, and I'd like to have, if both of you would talk about this, the concerns that both of you have with respect to Proposition 36 and the significance of your concerns for people who might think, gee, I think I'm going to go for Prop 36. Would you mind talking about that, please?
First of all, I would applaud the whole motivation behind Proposition 36. It was a statewide proposition, and we all know in California about the proposition process, that said, as a in both a felony and a misdemeanor case, if you commit a purely drug-related offense, you can, as a automatic right, be admitted to probation.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you are not going to fall under any of the other mandatory sentencing schemes that may have been set up for those kinds of offenses. If you're a felony Prop 36 person, you go on to felony probation for 3 years. If you're a misdemeanor, you go on to misdemeanor court probation for 18 months. You are required to abstain. You are required to test. You are required to do a program, and you are required to pay your program fees. Now, it's like, what would happen if somebody gave a party and nobody came? Well, the law is, pardon the analogy, is the party here. Mm-hmm. The party is mandated, but you cannot get any public support for this. It has been cut off. It has been absolutely eviscerated. All the early money that we used to have for Proposition 36 treatment, and we had a whole treatment court, and you remember that, Chuck.
I do, of
course.
Because
you were the deputy DA working on that, was great.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's no money for probation, no money for treatment, no money for anything related to Prop 36, and yet it is still a mandatory probation condition.
What comments do you have about people who would think that, hey, I'm really interested in P36 because maybe it's the easiest way out or easiest way for me to deal with this? Judge Gransert, what comments do you have about this?
Well, as Judge Livermore said, it was a good idea, and it was well-intentioned, but it's been abandoned.
What recommendation do you have for people who are thinking, who have drug problems, who are thinking, gee, I like the idea of P36?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people will think that way. I'm not sure that they are looking for help with that kind of attitude, mm-hmm. because if you want help, if you want to solve your addiction issues, then you have to go into the kind of program that Judge Livermore runs in drug court.
Yes.
Because there you get the supervision, and there you get the judicial intervention, and there you get the programs, and there is funding for those programs. So there is real hope for change with regard to drug court. There is no such hope with regard to P36 unless you're going to do it on your own. And if you were going to do it on your own, you probably would have done it before you got yourself into trouble.
When you say do it on your own, you mean, in other words, your money or your family's money to pay for some kind of drug help. Is that what you're talking about?
Or to just stop using drugs.
If you could. If
just
you could
on your own. Which is obviously
very difficult.
Very, very difficult. And that's why you need the help. And that's why drug court exists.
And the problem you're talking about, P36, as you've just described, this is something that's statewide, California.
Correct.
This is not just something that's going on in San Mateo County.
No, that is a statewide program. We call it treatment court in San Mateo County. We still have people who are, for various reasons, trying to manage their case through Proposition 36. And I say one of the good things about it is if you are successful, and my experience is that only about between 10% and 20% of the people are successful, which means that 80% of the people violate.
You're talking about recidivism.
I'm talking about recidivism, Proposition 36, either by probation violation or committing a new offense. If you are successful, you get your case dismissed as if it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
So on paper, it's a wonderful idea.
Yeah.
you get out of jail, you go into a program, and you get your case dismissed as if it never happened. And for those attorneys in the audience, it's Penal Code Section 1210. And they, on paper, have a great thing going for them. But what the whole program does not recognize is how stubborn and how much treatment is required in addiction recovery. It is not a treatment program. Prop 36 is not a treatment program. It's a get-out-of-jail-free program, which invites, as Jack said, basically somebody not addressing their underlying addiction issues, but just addressing the criminal justice issues and trying to get out as quick as possible.
Judge Livermore, before we go to another topic completely, what's the recidivism rate, with at least as far as you know, with respect to drug court?
When we started, the cases that have come into drug court had around a 90% recidivism rate, meaning all those who were convicted and incarcerated. Health and Safety Code Section 11550 is a misdemeanor charge for basically being under the influence. That had a 90-day minimum mandatory sentence. It's actually still in the statute, although it gets overridden by Proposition 36. Mm-hmm. That case was just known as the 90-day program because it's always modifiable to a program. People can do their 90 days. In the old days, you had different jail credits. You got two-thirds credit, so on a 90-day sentence, you did 60 days. Now, it's 50-50. Uh-huh. So if you get a 90-day sentence, you're only doing 45. Well, a lot of people can do 45 days, as they say, three hots and a cot in the county jail, standing on their head. It's very simple. So those programs led to an enormous amount of recidivism. Drug court flopped that around. We had...
If you wouldn't mind, just what is it? Because I want to get one more thing in here. What is the recidivism rate now in drug court?
I was just saying, it's only 20%.
Good. Okay.
So it has dropped an enormous amount.
We have 1 minute left in the statewide version of the program, Judge Grantzert. What is the Bridges program, very briefly, if you would? And I'm sorry we don't have more time. We will continue, certainly, for those who listen to the program live for another half hour. But this is the statewide version. You've got about 45 seconds.
Bridges is an intensive outpatient day treatment program focused on drug offenders to help them end the cycle of drug abuse and crime. It was started by a number of judges in San Mateo County and a number of probation officers. It was, again, a joint effort of so many county agencies, mental health, et cetera. And what they do is they intensively supervise people in a day program. These people who are convicted and on probation have to come to the program. They get training all day, and then they're subject to curfews at night.
We have come to the end of the half hour, statewide version. All right, everybody. It's 7:28 in a few seconds at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. I want to encourage you, if you are someone who has been in the system, whether you have had a drug problem, whether you are a family member who one of your family members has had a drug problem, if you are a veteran and have had problems, if you're a family member who has had someone in the various forces, armed forces, who's had difficulties, this is your chance to call in, ask a question, make a comment if you'd like. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. If you're anywhere throughout the state of California and you're listening to us on the internet at www.kalw.org, that's the same number that you can call. Don't be bashful, please. The whole point of this program is to give you an opportunity to join with us with your question, your comment, your concern. So it's 1-415-841-4134. Let me tell you who's with us for this program. Judge Richard Livermore is the Drug Court Proposition 36 Court Judge. Hopefully we'll have a chance for him to talk a little bit about what's called Pathways. My other guest is John L. Grantzert, also known as Jack. He's the assistant presiding judge. He talks about and is in charge of the Veterans Treatment Court. He's also involved with the Bridges program that he just briefly talked about. They are judges with the Superior Court of San Mateo County. So I hope you will join us with your questions, your comments. Support for KALW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. And for a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a Lawyer Referral Service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. 694149. If you're in any other county throughout California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. I think you'll probably get a live person, I hope, on the other end of the phone when you call during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. And just about nearly every county bar association lawyer referral for a half an hour, it's anywhere between $25 to $35. So it's a great opportunity. So I hope you will take advantage of it. And let me welcome you, Damien, to the program.
Hi. The reason I'm calling, I'm a veteran myself with the Air Force. But one of the reasons I called is because I've seen a lot of people that have gone through the criminal justice system as veterans that haven't gotten what seems to be a fair shake, because they wind up with a dishonorable discharge if they commit a crime right towards the end of their time in service and they get prosecuted by the military. If they get out, then they may commit another crime. They don't have any of the treatment services offered to them because of that dishonorable discharge. And I was just wondering if there's any consideration or any programs that are being thought about in California to possibly address those issues where people just aren't able to get the help they need.
Judge Granser?
Well, Damien, of course, in Veterans Treatment Court, we are talking about guys who are eligible for the VA benefits because that's the best treatment alternative that we can offer them. In terms of those who are not, who suffered a less than honorable discharge in some way, shape, or form, there are a lot more programs these days that are dedicated to upgrading their discharge status. And that is something that they should go to their local vet center and talk to the people there about the options that they might have. Because you're right, with a dishonorable discharge, it makes it much more difficult in life generally, and certainly with regard to getting, you know, the appropriate treatment in the VA. So I would say that, yes, things are improving. Yes, they're taking much closer scrutiny with regard to the level of discharge that someone has, and they're taking a much better view, a much more charitable view of upgrading that discharge status. I think that's a pretty recent change, and it's something that anyone who has that problem should go to a vet center and talk to somebody about.
Thank you.
Okay, Damien, thank you very much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you doing that. The number is 1-415-841-4134. Please take advantage of the fact that I have two judges here who are very experienced in the areas that we talked about in this alternative collaborative court area, drug court, Proposition 36, the Bridges program that Judge Granser talked about very, very briefly, and at greater length, the Veterans Treatment Court. Judge Livermore, let me come to you, because you didn't have a chance in the first half hour to talk about Pathways. What is that?
Well, Pathways follows a number of the same protocols for treatment. However, Pathways is designed specifically for people who have a pre-diagnosed or existing diagnosis of a serious mental health disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So someone who is schizophrenic, someone who is bipolar, someone who has already been diagnosed and who's, if you will, flailing about in the throes of their serious problems has committed a criminal offense. What is unique about that is that if you normally come into court with a mental health problem, and unfortunately there were many people who do, there has been no way in the past to do something that would approach generally accepted best practices mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. Well, now in San Mateo County, we have this Pathways program, which will allow intensive supervision for people with these pre-diagnosed problems. I want to emphasize the pre-diagnosis, because you cannot sort of diagnose your way into Pathways.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, well, you know, if I could just claim that I am a paranoid schizophrenic, and that is why I, you know, drove my truck through the neighbor's backyard and did $10,000 damage, that won't work. You really have to be someone who has been treated and is being treated for a pre-diagnosed mental illness. And the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, which is used by the psychiatrists and psychologists to diagnose mental disorders, is full of the various diagnoses that would work.
If I may interrupt for just a moment, with regard to Pathways, what percentage, if at all, of people who have gone through the drug or who are in the drug court program actually go into Pathways, do have some kind of a mental health disorder?
Well, the way that happens is that you don't really know about any underlying organic brain disorder unless you deal with the addiction issue first.
Yes.
Because addiction covers a lot of mental disorders. And in fact, a lot of time addiction occurs because people are trying to self-medicate mm-hmm. because of their mental disorders.
Yes.
Paranoid schizophrenia, you know, hearing voices, looking over their shoulder all the time, and they drink a handle of vodka and they are passed out.
Mm.
Okay. So what happens, though, is that when we do a good job in drug court, we have got the addiction issues managed. But we then might find that those issues have been masking a serious organic brain or mental disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so then there could be a migration from the addiction recovery into what we call dual diagnosis. So you can have the addiction side and you can have the mental health side. And so that is how you could migrate from drug court into Pathways. It is done. I would not say there are enormous numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in part that is because of the newness of all the new evaluations and assessment criteria which we are using to determine the best protocols for recovery.
Is Pathways something that is unique to San Mateo County, or is it being is it a program throughout many of the counties in California?
Well, mental health courts are now much more prevalent than they used to be, but they are not nearly as prevalent as drug court.
Okay.
But there are many, many mental health courts throughout California, throughout the United States.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something. I want to, again, invite you to join us with your questions, your comments, whether you have been in the legal system as someone who's been facing a judge in drug court or Prop 36 or Veterans Treatment Court or the Pathways program or the Bridges program. We welcome your call. We welcome your question. We welcome your concern if you have one. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Judge Gransert, in that you started the Veterans Treatment Court in San Mateo County, you having been a veteran yourself and having an empathy for veterans who needed to be treated and become back into society. When the veterans come before you, what are some of the things that you do in trying to continue to encourage these people to follow through with the Veterans Treatment Court?
Well, we By getting veterans involved with other veterans, that goes a long way already in increasing their motivation to want to succeed, to seek treatment. I mean, there's the incentive that we certainly give with regard to the criminal case.
Yes.
The chance to reduce their fines, the chance to seal their records if they successfully graduate from the program. But some people...
And this could be a veteran who has been charged with a felony?
Yes. It can be a misdemeanor or a felony. Mm-hmm. It cannot be the kind of crime that resulted in great injury to a veteran.
Okay. All right.
It can't be something that we feel that there's a danger to public safety if mm-hmm. we put them in this probationary program. It has to be someone who is eligible for probation. And if you're talking about the most serious of crimes, you're not talking about a probationary mm-hmm. case generally. Mm-hmm. So the motivation is provided by the fact that they are there with their fellow veterans, that they get encouragement on a monthly basis from a judge and a face-to-face program where the audience is their fellow vets who cheer them on. They get their $10 gift certificates, which they're very pleased with. And they also get the intensive supervision, both from their mentors and also from the probation department, probation officer who supervises them, and a case manager. So there are a lot of people who are interested in their welfare, and that is a novel experience for most of them
mm-hmm.
because they have managed to cut off a lot of their communications at this point with their families, even with society. And to get back into society's good graces is a very motivating factor for them. And as a result, we've had some really incredible success stories where these guys come into Veterans Treatment Court unable to function, leave with employment, leave with housing, and become mentors themselves for the next person that comes into Veterans Treatment Court.
Sounds very, very positive.
It's very
positive.
Sounds
very good. You know, if you go on the public streets or wherever you may be, certainly throughout California, occasionally you'll see someone at a stop signal, usually a man, with a sign saying, veteran, homeless, etc. Is there a time period, in other words, if someone has been homeless for quite some time, a vet has been homeless for some years and is actually trying to survive just by people stopping in their cars at the signal and giving them some money. Is there any time limitation on that veteran trying to take advantage of the Veterans Treatment Court, or does that present a problem that is not resolvable?
For those veterans who don't have criminal justice problems, they should go see their local vet center. They mm-hmm. should go see their local VA. For those veterans that do have a criminal justice problem, we have veterans in Veterans Treatment Court from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
We have veterans from all of the more recent wars. But we have several veterans from the Vietnam era. There is no time limit on the ability of people to change. Some of the people that we've had in Vet Treatment Court have been homeless for decades. And with the new crime that they are accused of committing or that they admit that they committed, then they can take advantage of Veterans Treatment Court. And just the confluence of all the motivating factors that I talked about just a moment ago can truly and has changed their life. And we're talking guys in their 50s, in their 60s, mm-hmm. in their 70s.
Mm. Wow. Here's a question that was brought into the studio. Someone has given it to the staff. How will a defendant find legal assistance in cases heard in alternative collaborative court? Is there a special public defender Should a defendant seek private counsel? Is there a particular specialist he or she should be looking for? Can both of you talk about this a bit?
Well, I would say to all those questions, the answer is yes to every single one. As you've already mentioned, there are bar associations that have legal referral services. And I know that, for instance, San Mateo County Bar Association has a very, very active and good group of attorneys that do focus on the issues of addiction. And I've also had experience with the same thing in San Francisco. I also know that there are attorneys who have a criminal defense practice, and it covers a broad range of topics, including specialties in areas of dealing with criminal justice issues and addiction. So there are also doctors who specialize in addiction medicine. There are people who run programs like recovery programs. In San Mateo County, we have many, many good programs. So the door to the criminal justice system for alternatives or collaborative courts can come through a number of these places. But if you have been arrested and you're facing arraignment, the best thing you can do is to find a really good attorney. And that has always been the case.
But the problem is they probably don't have the money.
But you can find it through the bar referral service. And, for instance, if you show up on an arraignment calendar in San Mateo County and you have a serious addiction issue, there are attorneys who are knowledgeable enough to be able to notify the private defender panel in San Mateo County that this person needs a specific attorney that knows about addiction recovery services.
I think what is perhaps confusing to people is San Mateo County is somewhat different than most counties. The private defender panel, for example, if someone comes into the court who has obviously a drug problem, cannot afford an attorney, the court in San Mateo County will appoint someone who's on the private defender panel, and then the court will pay, or through the funding through the court, will pay for that private defender. Is that not correct?
That is absolutely correct. And the private defender panel that we have in San Mateo County has won awards for their representation and the way that they represent clients.
And it's comparable to, I would assume, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, it's comparable to other counties that have a public defender system.
Right, right.
Okay, all right.
Now,
okay.
There are different ways to handle the criminal calendar. Some are vertical, some are horizontal, and I don't want to get into too much detail there, but the way that serious drug offenses are prosecuted in San Mateo County, you can have actually a specialty DA as well.
Uh-huh.
And in
yes.
fact, you were that
yes.
person, Chuck,
yes.
Many years ago
yes.
with the San Mateo County DA. So you could maybe address that a little bit.
Well, that was something that I did essentially exclusively or most of my time. As the representative of the district attorney's office, and the basic thing was that this was a team effort to help somebody who had a drug problem try to get help through treatment and not to hammer by putting in jail and putting behind bars. And so certainly the whole training I got, and I think the training of others who followed me, was that this is a team effort to help this person get through this awful situation and return as a worthwhile human being back into society. It was not something to try to convict somebody if there was some alternative. So let's do this. We've got Chris. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air, Chris. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to speak from the treatment end here. I work with the client population that the collaborative courts serve. I'm not working with the collaborative courts, but I have a few lucky clients who've managed to go through those systems and have gotten great benefit from them. I want to say that I also work with many folks who are not lucky enough to go through those systems and end up in the in the criminal justice system with incarcerations on their record and very difficult reentry into any kind of meaningful life, and are basically excluded from in many ways from returning to a healthy and a happy life for them. So from my point of view as a treatment person, the underlying issue is trauma, the underlying mental illness with 90% or more of the people that I work with is that they've been chronically traumatized their whole life. Mm. And so I want to just advocate for continued work in this direction, and for more understanding of the root of all of this, which is not substance abuse. It's not substance abuse is merely a symptom of the underlying problem, which is chronic trauma. Mm-hmm. And the more that we can start to recognize that, and make these sorts of justice efforts, extend these justice efforts to include people that are traumatized, we're going to have better outcomes.
Are you saying, when you talk about trauma, are you talking about people who have a mental health disorder that has haunted them much of their life?
Well, yes. So many of the folks that are, in our justice system now have experienced chronic trauma in their life, which affects the brain, affects the neurophysiology of that individual. And the DSM, the diagnostic manual, has not caught up yet, and so their only diagnostic criterion for trauma is post-traumatic stress disorder or acute stress disorder, which don't really capture the cumulative and chronic effect of growing up mm-hmm. disenfranchised and all the sorts of things that go with that. The stress of not having enough money, the domestic violence that goes with that, the sexual abuse, the mm-hmm. And with all of those, then come things like mood problems, so chronic depression, chronic anxiety, which you can diagnose to some extent. But so the case I'm making here is that really the root of all of what we're talking about here tonight is trauma. And the more that we can start to recognize that, the more that we'll be able to bring more and more people in our justice system into these sort of collaborative and restorative efforts that your panelists are all involved in.
And let me get some comments before you go, Chris. And I don't want you to identify what organization you are with. What county are you primarily working with on this?
Well, I've worked in. Currently, I'm working in Alameda County.
Are you?
I've also worked in San Francisco County as
okay.
well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call. Let me get some comments.
Could I make a comment on that?
Ahead, please.
Chris, I agree with you. One of the most moving testimonies I've ever seen on this whole issue was given by a woman who was raised in Baltimore, was severely traumatized her entire life, well over 25 or 30 convictions. And she gave a testimony at the annual meeting of the National Association of Drug Court Professionals. And she was spot on with your observation about trauma. And I think it's well known that the correlation between early abuse and long-term California Department of Corrections state prison incarceration is almost one-to-one. In other words, 100% of the people who are serving long time in the state prison system have been traumatized severely mm-hmm. at some point, either at the early part of their lives or throughout. Now, it would be nice if the only generating issue here were trauma. Mm-hmm. But it is far more complex than that. But, mm-hmm. Chris, I applaud your work. I would say that we are acutely aware of the correlation between trauma and long-term criminogenic activity, people who are reoffending, and also the overlay of addiction and mental health disorders. So we're working on it.
Well, Chris, thank you very much for calling. Again, we have a few minutes left if you'd like to call in. It's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. For those of you who are wondering when is our next Call a Lawyer night, it will be in 2 weeks on the 27th of this month, in case you'd like to call in and speak to any one of either 7 or 8 attorneys in the conference room on a number of different legal areas. That number, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Again, Call a Lawyer night will be in 2 weeks. The topic on the air, it will be 1 week. I apologize. It's next week, August 27th, and we'll have employment law, various wage and hours issues, etc., and so I hope you join us for that. All right. Do we have someone else, Martin? I guess we don't have anybody else at this point, apparently. We have about 4 minutes left in the program. I'm wondering if there's anything that you would like to touch upon before, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye. Judge Gransert, do you have something?
Well, just this, and that is that as valuable a service as collaborative courts provide, as we've talked about here with drug court and veterans treatment court, at least with regard to things like veterans treatment court and bridges and the like, these are the kinds of programs that have blossomed in recent years but will not necessarily survive to the extent that we don't have full court funding. Mm-hmm. And I just have to say that at this point the courts have been treated rather shabbily in terms of budget. When you cut out a third of the staff, a third of the budget of the courts, naturally the first thing that could end up getting cut are things like collaborative courts, because they are a recent addition to the tools that we can use with regard to criminal justice offenders. So to the extent that people do appreciate collaborative courts, I think it behooves all of us to make sure that our governor and our legislature understands that you can't cut off a third of the funds, a third of the budget for an equal branch of government and expect things like collaborative courts to survive. Many courts are closing courthouses. We've had to do it in San Mateo County as well. And we don't think that's the appropriate way to treat the judicial branch, which is trying to do even more than what we were originally slated to do by forming these collaborative courts.
Well, I think both of you, I thank you very much for joining us on the program and giving us the history of some of these programs and the insight and the hopefulness. And I hope that we will see that we are not going to be have further problems with alternative and collaborative courts being cut out. Thank you very much, Judge John Gransert, for joining us, known as Jack, who we worked together for several years, Assistant Presiding Judge. And thank you, Richard Livermore. Drug Proposition 36 Court Judge, Superior Court of San Mateo County. Thank you both very much for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
To have you on the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Trust and Estate section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. Next week, I hope you will join us for our topic, employment law, wage and hours issues, including overtime, meal and rest breaks, employees mislabeled as independent contractors and unpaid interns. Employment law attorneys will be my guests, Brian Schwartz and Tom Geit. And it's also Call a Lawyer night. I hope you join us for that. 1-800-525-9917. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.